Tonight is a really special night. It's a really important night. It's a really significant night. In some ways, what will start here small has the potential to ripple out in huge ways. If you don't know the context here, perhaps you've just wandered in. Maybe you've been brought by a friend. Maybe you don't know all the ins and outs. And maybe you were horrified that the first thing that happened to you when you came in here was that you were asked a quiz about a church that you don't know anything about. But just to give you the context, we started this Woodlands Metro, this city centre expression of Woodlands Church. We had 5 monthly specials over the spring and the summer, from March through to July. But today is the first time that we start in earnest. This is the first time that we actually go weekly. And from here on in, this thing is going to grow and grow and grow. That's our heart, and that's our intention, and that's our hope. It will only happen if Jesus is with us, and it will only happen if we pull in the direction that God is pulling. And so tonight, the topic is being on the right track. What I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a preview, a heads up of where we're going. What's the track that we're on with Metro? Because it may be that some of you, you're here and you're Woodlands through and through. You've been around in Woodlands for ages and you've known about the Metro vision for quite a while. And you've got a good read on what we're doing here. But it may be that actually you're a little bit on the outside looking in. Some of you, maybe you've been brought along by a friend, or maybe you come because you've been your curiosity has been piqued, and maybe you have some reservations. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, well, I'll give it one shot. I'll give it a go. And if I don't like it, then I just won't come back. And that's fine. And we want to encourage people to come with that attitude. But you're asking the question, what is this all about? What are we trying to do? Is this some kind of cute church or trendy church or kind of flashy church for people with short attention spans? What are we trying to accomplish and what are we all about? If you've been around Woodlands a little bit, you would have known probably that we've based this whole project on church that you can bring your friend to. We that have faith, we want to be able to share that faith. We don't want it to be weird. We don't want it to be alienating of people. But we do want people to feel that they can come to a place where there's no assumptions made about what they do know and what they don't know, where no one's going to look at them funny, no one's going to give them a hard time, where you can just come in and you can test things, you can get a feel for things, and you can know that you're involved and you're included. But what's beyond that? What are we actually trying to do? And what is Woodlands Church? And you've had a little bit of the history of it. What is it all about and what is it all for? What's the track that we are on? And I want to answer that. But before I answer that, I want to ask you a question. And the question that I want to ask you is what track are you on? What journey are you on? What direction are you heading in? And actually, to make that a little bit more direct, how do you know you're on the right track? How do you know that you're on the right track in life? You all know that in life, life is a journey. In other words, we're all heading somewhere. You know that. You know that right now you might be a teenager or you might be in your 20s, but one day you are going to be in your 30s, your 40s, your 60s, your 80s. We don't know how it's going to pan out, but we all know that we're heading towards a future. If you're single right now, you're heading towards a future you, where hopefully, for those of us that want this kind of thing, you're in a good relationship. You've done well. You feel good about your life. And here's the thing. The fact of the matter is we're all heading in a direction with our lives. We're all making choices now that determine where we're going to be later on. So the choices that you make now, the directions that you make now, they have a complete and total bearing on where you end up. You ever been in that situation where you're driving, you get to a motorway junction, maybe you're turning onto the motorway, you get one of these great big roundabouts, and you get on the wrong turning from the motorway, from the roundabout. You've ever, put your hands up if you've ever done that. If you've ever ended westbound when you should be eastbound, or northbound when you should be southbound, and you have a big irate argument with your sat nav, and you blame all kinds of things. But the fact of the matter, you get onto the motorway and you know that now you're in this direction. Now you're moving in this particular direction. There's no other choice but to go the wrong way. And you just hope that you can find one of those junctions that is in 2 miles, but usually it's like 10 miles. And you're sat now there saying, in 10 miles, do a U-turn. Now you tell me! But you get onto the motorway and you suddenly realize that a choice that you made at one point has now completely impacted and influenced where you're going to go to. It's sending you down a wrong direction. And with a motorway, just like with life, when we take a wrong turning and when we get headed in the wrong direction, you can make a U-turn. You can get off at a different junction, but you do know that your life will be impacted. And it's possible that you've looked at people around you. Maybe you've looked at friends that you've got, or maybe you look at people who are a little bit older and a little bit further on. And you look at their lives and you think, gosh, they made a wrong turn. I remember one of my friends talking to me and saying, Philip, I never imagined that this was going to be my life. 30. And divorced. I didn't realize that this is the direction I was going. I didn't realize that this is a destination that I would get to. And I need to turn things around. And sometimes we look at people and we look at people. Maybe you look at your parents and you think, I don't want to be my parents. I know that Zoe Gennardo often feels like that. But you look at your parents or you look at people around you and you say, actually, these people, they don't look like they're that happy in life. They don't look like they're that fulfilled. They don't look like their lives are making that much of a difference. They don't look like they've actually achieved or accomplished the kinds of things that I want to achieve and accomplish. But how do you know you're on the right track? Because the decision that you make now, you might not know where it's going to go, but it will pay off a year down the line, 5 years down the line, 20 years down the line. You want to have healthy relationships. You want to be in a happy place. But the things that you're doing now, the choices that you're making, the decisions that you're coming to, they all have an impact. All of us are on a journey of life. All of us are heading in a particular direction. How do you know that you're on the right track? How do you know that you're heading in the right direction? Because here, this is something that I want you to hear really, really clearly, because this is true. Listen to me. I'm wise. I have lived many years. I'm outside of the age demographic of Metro. I want you to hear this. Direction determines destination. Say that with me. Direction determines destination. In other words, the direction that you start in, the direction that you're heading in, that is the biggest factor in where you end up. It's not hard work determines destination. It's not intention, good intentions, meaning well, feeling like you're trying to do your best. That doesn't lead to the right destination. It's the direction that you set. And it's possible to get into life and suddenly realize that you've got to a certain place and you regret where you've got to. You regret the choices that you made 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago maybe. And you think, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have taken that turn. Like being on the motor and you don't have the benefit of sat-nav and you don't realize that you've even taken a wrong turn. But if you've ever been in this situation where you're driving, maybe it's off the beaten track a little bit and you're pretty sure that you're on the right track. But as you go mile upon mile upon mile, you start looking out the window and you think, hang on, this doesn't feel right. I'm supposed to be going into a built-up area. Now there's just cows everywhere. This can't be right. This can't be where I'm supposed to be. And it's like that in life. In fact, I'm going to bet right now that there are certain individuals here, you're sitting listening to me right now, and you have that kind of, that sense of unease, that sense of, it doesn't feel right. I'm trying to go in a particular direction. I'm trying to be a good person. I'm trying to have a good life. I'm trying to do well. I'm trying to achieve something. But I'm looking around me and I'm looking at how things have been. And something about it doesn't feel like I'm on the right track. It doesn't feel like it should feel. And maybe the reason that you're here today, maybe the reason that you're looking at faith, maybe the reason that you've had those conversations with your friend at work is because you had that niggling, gnawing sense. Something's not quite right. The surroundings, they don't feel. Something just feels off. How do you know you're on the right track? How do you know what direction to take? And how do you live a life where you don't get into a situation and then you think, I regret what I've done. I regret how I've come. I wish I'd taken a different turn. But how do you know? How do you know what to do? How do you know how to live? I want to lead you to something that Jesus said when he was gathering his people together, his followers, his disciples. And this comes with a little bit of a health warning, because he was talking to disciples. He was talking to his followers. He wasn't talking to everybody. He wasn't talking to the general public. Now, when Jesus dealt with the general public, he loved them. He ministered to them. He healed them when they were sick. He answered their questions. So much of the time, Jesus took people and he said, listen, I don't mind that you have questions. It's okay to have questions. And I've got all the time in the world to answer your questions. And I might have a few questions of my own for you. But when he got his followers together, his disciples together, there's one particular time, and it was it's called the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gathered his followers. It was not just the 12 disciples. It was all the others that were sort of aligning themselves with Jesus. And he says, listen, if you're a follower of mine, and if you're trying to be in relationship with me, then this is how you should live. And he puts the bar fairly high, but he talks about this whole issue of knowing how to build a life, to construct a life that is going to be a good life. It's at the end of all his teaching. And it says this in Matthew chapter 7. He says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. So this is all the teaching that he's been doing about loving your enemies, about turning the other cheek, about not worrying, about not being anxious. He said, all this stuff, all the teaching that I've given you about morality and lust and the way that you have sexual boundaries and the way that you conduct yourself in justice and mercy, all this stuff, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Everyone say, puts them into practice. Very good. Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Actually, if you were in church, if you grew up in church, you went to Sunday school, you know that Jesus didn't actually preach this. He actually taught them a song about a wise man build his house upon the rock. The wise man built his. The wise man built his. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came. Very good. Okay. For some of you, you're just thinking, this got so weird so quickly. It says, they're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose. Not quite as poetic. And the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. Now, what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying everybody, everybody, I don't care who you are, whether you're young or you're old, whether you're male or whether you're female, whether you're a believer or whether you're a cynic, a skeptic, an agnostic, an atheist, it doesn't matter. Everybody, everybody is building something. Everybody is constructing a life. Right now, where you are, the choices that you make, the way that you act, the responses that you have to people around you, the way that you choose to live your life, you're building something. You're building something. And Jesus says it's like a house and you have to live in it. It's not a case of you should build something of your life. You build something whether you know it or not, whether you think about it or not, whether you're conscious about it or not, whether you're just kind of merrily going about things. You're building something. Something is being constructed. But Jesus says, listen, the difference is you either build well or you build poorly. And Jesus said, the issue is not about believing the right things. It's not about going to church. I don't care if you go to church. I don't care if you believe the right things. That is immaterial in these matters. The key thing is this. It's put into practice. In other words, doing is everything. Doing is what it is all about. It's not about believing. It's not about agreeing with. It's not about worshiping. It's not the person that prays to me. Those things are obviously important. But Jesus says, it's what you do. It's what you put into practice. That is how you know that you're on the right track. Because listen to this. Jesus didn't say, maybe storms will come. Jesus said, when the storm rises, when the wind beats down upon you, when the rain tears down, it's going to happen. The thing about Christianity is that nowhere in Christianity does anybody say, become a Christian, give your life to Jesus, believe the right stuff, go to church, put money in the offering jar, and life will go well with you. Jesus, when he's gathered all his people together and he's given them all the best teaching, all the greatest things to live and to believe, he says, now storms are going to come. Your life is going to be hit by certain things and you don't know where it's going to come from. And you don't know how it's going to attack you. You don't know what's going to happen. But believe me, things are going to happen that will test your life. It may be sickness. It may be bereavement. It may be something that hits you with your job. It may be something that hits you economically. It may be something that hits you emotionally. Your ability to cope with life. But these storms will come. Being a Christian doesn't isolate you from that. But he says, listen, if you've built well, if you've gone on the right track, if you've gone in the right direction, you can withstand it. You can prevail. And if you're a person of faith and you believe that there is a God out there, you believe that one day you're going to be before him and that one day you're going to enter into a new frame of existence, you want to know that you've lived well. You want to know that you've built something. The Bible says everyone should be careful of how they build because one day it's going to be tested. Might not be next month. It might not be next year. It may be 10 years down the line. It may be 50 years down the line. But you will be tested. And Jesus says, it's about putting into practice. Now, I want you to look at this word, putting into practice, because it's one of my favorite words in the whole Bible. It's the Greek word that Jesus uses is a word called poieo. It has a really interesting meaning. Here's a little bit of the meaning of it. It means to construct something, to produce something, and to make into something. So poieo, it's actually where we get the English word poetry from. Poieo, it means to create. And Jesus is the person that hears my words and then creates something of them. That's the one that builds well in their life. Jesus is looking for you not just to hear the thing, not just to believe in the thing, not just to accept the thing, but to create something. And this is my challenge to you. I want you to think about how can you create something? How can you fashion something? The word poieo is the word that they use for a craftsman when they're making something. Jesus was a builder. You know, we think of him as a carpenter, but historically, most scholars now realize that actually the words that was used was more the kind of person that we'd recognize as a jobbing builder, someone that constructed houses. And Jesus is saying, I want you to take my words and I want you to build something out of them. I want you to fashion something. I want you to make them into something. So when you hear about compassion, when you hear about mercy, when you hear about forgiveness, when you hear about grace, I want you to make those into beautiful acts that you do for other people. I want you to make that into a lifestyle that you create. I want you to make a beautiful family life or a community life or a wonderful workplace. I want you to do that from the things that I have spoken about. I want you to make poetry in motion. The person that hears what I'm saying and then they fashion it into something real and good and solid. That's the person that's building well. So very, very quickly, what I want to do is I want to give you a beginner's guide to the key things that Jesus teaches. Because some of you, as I say this stuff, you're thinking, well, you know, Jesus said a lot of things. Where do we start? What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four things. And these four things are the real key things. These are the ones that are kind of the red letter commandments. And again, like I said before, if you're not a Jesus follower, if you're not a church person, you can take or leave these. You can pick and choose. If you think one of them sounds good, you can do it. If you don't, you don't have to do it. It's primarily for people who are in relationship with Jesus. But I want to go through each one of them in turn, and then let's see where we get to. And the first commandment that I want to talk about is the very first commandment that Jesus gave to the very first disciples. Mark records in the book that he wrote about Jesus' life, he says that Jesus came to Galilee, the region where he grew up, and he sees these fishermen, and he says this to them in Mark chapter 1. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I want you to notice, I will make you. Is that wonderful word again. It's poieo. It's, I will fashion something out of you. So many people think that to become a Christian is, I've got to do all the work. I've got to be a good person. I've got to put some effort in. But actually, you need to relax and know that Jesus says, hey, guess what? As you create something out of my words, I'm going to create something out of you. I'm going to make you the kind of person that you're supposed to be. I'm going to make you into something fantastic, something awesome, something wonderful. And the first commandment that Jesus gave to people was follow. I want you to follow me. And that's the first thing that we want to know. The first thing that we need to do. Simply follow Jesus. That's the definition of what makes a disciple. A disciple isn't someone that wants to know what the master knows. A disciple is someone who wants to be how the master is. In fact, they had a saying in the old Jewish times when a rabbi would take on disciples. And they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. In other words, when the rabbi is walking on the dusty paths of Palestine, you'd be so close that the dust that the rabbi kicks up would attach itself to you. And it was a metaphor that you're so close to Jesus that you start to become like Jesus. Do you know that's what discipleship is all about? Disciples, following Jesus means, yes, I want to do what Jesus does. I want to live the way that Jesus lives. But most of all, I want to be like Jesus. As I follow him, as I allow myself to do what I see my master doing, he makes me like him. Follow. It's the most wonderful thing. It's a lifelong thing. And it means this, if I'm following Jesus, if I'm trying to live my life and do what he calls me to do, whether that means sacrifice or difficulty or hardship, I know that I'm going in the right direction. I'm on the right track. I'm creating something which is going to last. Now, the second thing that he did for his disciples, he said, I don't want you to just be on your own, believing in me, following me, having a great relationship with me. This is a corporate thing. This is a communal thing. And he said to his disciples at the very end of his ministry on earth with them, he gathered them together in an upper room. He shared a meal with them. And he spent hour upon hour upon hour talking to them and teaching them out of relationship. And he said this, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's John chapter 13. And that's the second thing. Jesus says, I want you to love one another. And we talked about this a couple months ago in one of our monthly specials. We talked about the kind of word that Jesus uses for love. And it really means other-oriented, choice-based, self-sacrificial love. The kind of love that you can command. Because you can't command an emotion and you can't command me to like someone that I don't like. You can't command me to get on with someone I don't get on with. But you can command me to make a choice to love someone in a self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-oriented way. I'm loving someone not because they're like me, not because we got on so well, not because there's such great chemistry between us, not because we share so much in common. I love you because you're worth it, because God thinks that you're special, and therefore I'm committing myself to love you. And this is our second thing, love. It means that we are in relationship with one another. Jesus said his disciples, if you're a follower of Jesus, and this is part of the gig, if you get into following Jesus, you have to love each other. And that's why as a church, we have a big emphasis on what happens outside of these meetings, that we're loving one another together. And then thirdly, he said this, and it cycles back to the passage that I've been talking about, the Sermon on the Mount. It was just a few verses earlier than the one that we read. But Jesus says this. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In other words, because God is good, because your Father is good, then in the light of that, he says, so in everything, do to others. Everyone say, do to others. What you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. In other words, Jesus says, listen, I want you to serve. I want you to serve those around you. I don't want you to just love one another in a nice holy huddle, but I want you to be active in serving everybody in the world. Now, sometimes when we think about this, and we call this the golden rule. In fact, scholars will say, yeah, well, every religion has got this one. Every religion says something like this. Do to others. It's the law of reciprocity. Doing to others as you want them to do to you. But when we think about it, we think about people like me doing things to people like me. So I'm driving my car. I get to a junction. I let you out. Because I would like you to let me out. It's something that I do to an equal. But actually, Jesus is saying so much more profound than that. He's saying, I want you to do to everybody. So not just the people that are privileged like you, not just the people that have got it together like you. I want you to do it to those that are the very bottom of the pile. So what do you do to the poor? You imagine what it was like if you were poor. How about the homeless? You imagine what it would be like if you were homeless. How would you want people to deal with you? How would you want people to treat you? What would you want people to do for you? If you were addicted to drugs, if you were on the streets, if you had come to a place of brokenness, if you find yourself selling your body just to get the next trick, then what would you do? What would you want people to do for you? And Jesus says, I want you to imagine that everyone, in fact, he went further. He says, whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing it for me. And Christians that sit and stand in church buildings and sing, but don't love the poor and don't serve the needy, are severely missing what Jesus calls us to do. You're on the wrong track. You're not living the way that God wants you to live. God's looking for people who will serve. To serve those that are the last, the lost, and the least. And then finally, at the very end of all the Gospels, when Jesus has risen from the dead, he gives his disciples one last command. He says this. This is the context. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And truly, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What Jesus says is, he says, I want you not just to think about your own journey, not just to think about your own relationship with me. I want you to have as your prime goal, vision, and priority to go to people who don't yet know me and help them become disciples. I don't want you to just be a disciple. I want you to make other disciples. In other words, I want you to help people find me. And so find is the final command. And these things, they're really well established. That the first command to follow, that's like the very first commandment. The second one, love one another, it's known in certain circles as the great commandment. The one about serving, we call that the golden rule. And this one, the final one, about helping people find Jesus, we call that the great commission. These four, they really are the greatest hits that Jesus gave. We put them together. We've got find, follow, love, and serve. If you want your life to be on the right track, all you've got to do is that. You've got to find Jesus. You've got to follow Jesus. You've got to love others. And you've got to serve those around you. And you've got to then help other people find Jesus. You've got to help them follow Jesus. You've got to help them love one another. And you've got to help them serve the city and the nations around them. And so this is really where we get to. When I ask you what you're doing in life, where you're going, how you know you're on the right track, and when I talk about what we're trying to do as Metro, the two are one and the same thing. So we in Metro, this new expression of Woodlands Church, we're looking to do those four things. Find, follow, love, serve. Find, follow, love, serve. And this is our first This is our first time of being together. It's an exciting time because we are at the... This is... I can hear the start gun going off. We're in the blocks. We're about to set off. And the crowd are on their feet and cheering because this is an amazing thing. But what we're doing is we want people to find Jesus. And in about 4 weeks' time, we're starting something which really helps people find Jesus. And if you're not a believer here, if you've got questions, if you're kind of on the fence, this is a great thing for you. It's called an Alpha course. And we want as many people as possible to do that. And we want people from Metro to come and lead that so other people get to find Jesus. And then follow Jesus. How do we follow Jesus? The best way to do that is to have someone who asks you the difficult questions, who comes alongside you, who encourages you, who meets up with you. And so we're looking in the next few weeks and months, we want to build in mentoring and coaching so that every single person who wants it can be in a situation within this environment where there's someone who can help them, someone who can be on their side, someone who can be cheering them on, someone who can be just a sounding board, someone who could be asking them the difficult questions, someone that they can be accountable to. And then love. We want to create environments where people can learn how to love. This stuff, it doesn't come naturally. It's not easy to do. If it was, everybody would do it. I tell you what's easy to do. It's easy to like a bunch of friends that are like you, and then when one of them ticks you off, to kick them to the curb and move on to a different bunch of friends. That's easy. What's hard is to stick with people through thick and thin. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to rub off the rough edges off one another. And we want to create, we already have that. Many of us are already in groups like this. But increasingly, if you're not in one of these places, if you're not in a place where you're learning how to love, we want to help you find that stuff. And then fourthly, serve. We actually want to serve our city. We want to be able to be a force for love, not just loving one another, but loving and serving our city. And next time, this is what I'm going to do. Next time, I'm going to tell you some of the ways in which we are going to go out and serve. And I tell you this, there's some exciting things. You're going to feel so privileged to be a part of this. And we're going to touch some of the most needy situations in our city. In fact, if you come back next week, I'll give you a whole overview of what we're going to do in the next few months. Because we've got some really exciting things planned. We want to share that with you so that you get excited too. But here it is in a nutshell. Find, follow, love, serve. We want people to find Jesus. We want people to follow Jesus. We want to mobilize people, because this is not easy. It doesn't come natural, to love one another. And we want to be a force for good in Bristol so that we're serving our city. In fact, here's the big idea for this week's talk. And then I'm going to wrap up and we're going to do something fun. This is it. This is the big idea. The vision that we have as church is we exist to help people find and follow Jesus, mobilizing them to love one another and serve their city. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're creating church you can bring your friend to. That's why we're excited about this. We're not just excited because we get to sing and worship and be together and be on the balcony. We're excited because we get to see people's lives transformed. And do you know what? There's nothing more important, because we are literally helping people get on the right track by aligning themselves with Jesus. So that's what we're about. Finding, following, loving and serving. And if you heard the quiz, the final question about what the values of Woodlands Church are, then it should be no surprise that they're exactly the same. We're not doing anything new. The values of Woodlands Church: discipleship, commitment, service and unity. It's just find, follow, love and serve with slightly different vocabulary. But that's what we're about, and that's what the church has always been about. For the last 32 plus years, we've always been about this, because this is what Jesus is always about. And if you want to live a life where you're headed in the right direction, regardless of what career path you choose, regardless of who you end up marrying or not marrying, but if you want to know that you're going in the direction where you look back and you live a life without regrets, this is the things to do. This is what you put into practice. This is what you create. This is a poetry that's got to come out of your life. Finding Jesus, helping others find Jesus. Following Jesus, helping other people follow Jesus. Loving one another. Growing in that, practicing that, persevering at it. And serving the city. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do a fun thing because we've got balloons. And I love helium balloons. And I think helium in a balloon, well, there's two things that you can do with it that are fun. You can speak funny. No, we're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to make a fun prayer. Now, you should find that on your seat, there's a little slip of paper with a hole cut in it, and it's got the Metro logo on, and the other side of the paper is blank. Now, you have your pens. What I want you to do is this. Because we talk about a church you can bring your friend to, what I want you to do, and you don't have to do this if you find it weird or if you're not sure about faith, then please just bear with us, and that's okay. You don't have to take part in this. But if you feel like, yes, I do want to be a follower of Jesus, and I do know Jesus, and I, even if you don't know Jesus, but you can get behind this, you think, yeah, I could bring a friend into this. We might not believe all the stuff that you believe about babies and mangers, but we could be compelled by a vision to serve the poor in the city and to find ourselves in great communities, accountable relationships, moving forward, asking the big questions of life. Then I would like you to think about the friend that you'd like to bring to this church. Now, I know that you've got lots of friends, and it's a little bit artificial, but right now, who's the one? If you were pinned down, if you had to choose one person, who would that be? And I want you to write their name down, okay? This is not like your mum that lives in Newcastle. This is someone that you could actually bring to this place, okay? And take along on this journey, now that you know the track that we're on, find, follow, love, serve. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get the band up, we're going to worship. We're going to send some guys round, and they're going to go to the ends of the rows. And as we stand up and hand, what we want you to do is I want you to hand your piece of paper to the end of the rows, and then we'll collect them up during the worship. And as we're singing during the worship time, we're just going to do two songs. We're going to attach these names to the balloons. There's going to be like three, maybe four names per balloon. And then what we're going to do is we're going to release the balloons. We're all going to go onto the balcony. In fact, first of all, we've got some birthday cake. We've got a zero candle on the birthday cake. So we're going to enjoy that together, blow out the candles. And then we're going to go out to the balcony and we're going to release the balloons. And I want you to take one of these balloons between three or four of you. We'll figure it all out at the end. Don't worry. We'll lead you through it. But we're just going to say a little prayer and then we're going to let the balloons go. And what it's going to be, it's going to be like a little prayer. A prayer that says, God, I'm thinking of these persons. I'm thinking of these individuals. I want you to do good for them. I want you to take care of them. I want you to be close to them. They need you. I need you, but they need you. And I want them to be part of this. I at least want them to have the chance, okay? This is church you can bring a friend to, where together we find, we follow, we love, and we serve. Before we do that, I'm going to pray. In fact, I'm going to invite Matt and Annie and the band to come up as I pray. But why don't we just close our eyes, and I'm going to pray and ask that God would help us. Dear Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that in one sense you make it so easy for us, but in another sense it's so hard and it's so challenging to do and to put into practice what you do, what you teach, what you say, what you live. But I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. And I thank you for this little baby church that starts this evening. This little outcrop, this little frontier post of Woodlands Church. And I want to pray in the name of Jesus that you would do wonderful things with us this term. I pray that we'd see fantastic things happening, that we'd see an impact where it's needed the most, with the people that are the most hopeless, the most hurting, touched, and having their lives impacted. Father, for those of us that are looking for spiritual answers, I pray you'd give us spiritual answers. And Lord, as we think about our friends, we want to pray that you'd come close to them, that you'd speak to them, and that you'd help them. We offer these things to you in Jesus' name. We ask that you'd help us to find you, to follow you, to love one another, and to serve our city. In the name of Jesus.